No.
Did you,
No, we made our own cider. They didn't come. It was different kind of... See, my uncle died, quite a long time.
Well, I'm asking you to recall the first 5 years that you were in this country. Did you have any satyrs?
I had it for myself.
Well, who was there?
Me and my wife.
But you didn't get married until later. I'm talking about the first couple
of
years.
No, we didn't go to a seder. No.
You didn't have a seder then until after you were married?
I didn't.
Can you remember that far back?
We did. Those days, it wasn't the same like it is now. It's a different life now. People make more business out of it now than it used to be before Pesach.
I see. They make more out of it now.
Yeah, it's more commercial now. See, when I was in business, first year, we didn't have anything to sell. After, a couple years later, we had everything to sell.
During these first 5 years that you were here, now you just left the sister in Europe. You kept in touch with her?
Yeah.
With anybody else?
No. I have uncles, family. No, they didn't. I wasn't in touch with them. I used to, after the First World War, I used to send my sister monthly a month.
That was much later, though.
She used to come in, go in a store there, and used to pick up merchandise every month.
Are you an American citizen?
Yeah.
And how did you get your citizenship?
Well, I got the first papers out, and it took a long time. I didn't pay attention to become a citizen. After the First World War, was a fellow by the name of Steinberg.
Uh-huh.
Attorney Steinberg's father used to come into my place. He says, Adler, I'm going to make you a citizen.
And that was after the First World War?
Yeah. I was in business already. In 1923, I became a citizen.
And when did you first vote?
Huh?
When did you first vote?
When the first vote was, wait a while. Who was that time running?
When did you first vote?
Huh?
When did you first vote?
When I vote.
You became a citizen in 1923.
Who was the president?
24 was an election.
Who?
1924.
Was Taft?
Maybe. But I asked, when did you first vote? Was it the year after you became a citizen?
The first president I voted. I don't remember what.
But did you vote the year after you became a citizen?
I vote all the time. Democrat. I was registered Democrat.
All right. Were you active in the party at all?
Huh?
Were you active in politics at all?
No, I wasn't active, no.
When did you first meet the person that you married? When did you first meet your wife?
When? 1913, I think I met her.
You came in 1907?
1911.
1911. You met her in 1913.
1912 or 1913.
And how did you meet her?
I met her in a private room.
Friends? Mutual friends?
Yeah, friends, yeah. They introduced me to her.
How old were you?
How old I was? Mm-hmm. 22 or 23.
How old was she?
The same age.
And when were you married?
I was married in 1914.
Remember the day, the date?
I was married the 26th of December.
You were married. Now, you knew each other then a year before you got married. You knew each other a year?
I knew her for a year.
You knew her for a year?
Yeah.
Now then, your marriage was not prearranged.
Huh?
nobody arranged your marriage.
No,
you met each other.
We met in a private home, too.
All right. Now, if you had stayed in Europe, in Russia, did the parents arrange, the grandparents?
Naturally, the parents aren't wedding.
In Europe?
Yeah.
But you didn't have parents,
no, we didn't
so
have.
They wouldn't. Nobody would have arranged
your
marriage.
No, nobody arranged ourselves. We were married by cousin's home, no cousin's home, in Hill Street.
All right. Was your wife from Russia, too?
Yeah.
Were you interested in marrying someone from the same country?
Well, I was interested. I met a nice girl that got married. So
but it didn't matter to you whether or not she was Russian. Did anybody you knew marry non-Jews? Did anybody marry non-Jews?
Not in my year.
How did you feel about this? You think anything about it?
Listen, nowadays is different. Years before was a difference, too. Here before was a very big crime if a Jewish boy or a Jewish girl got married to a Gentile. Now there was plenty of mixed marriages.
At that time, did you feel it was a crime?
It was a crime, yeah. Nowadays, there is no crime.
No, sure not.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Well,
as long as
they have their own troubles.
I have a cousin. She married a Gentile fella. And believe me, she has a better life with him if she would marry the Jewish man.
Well, it happens that way.
I'm not kidding you.
Now, today you hear all kinds of marriage counselors and all kinds of problems. Did you have any problems of adjustment that you remember during the first years of your marriage?
What?
In the first years of your marriage.
Yeah.
Today, you know, you hear all kinds of trouble. Sometimes they work themselves out, sometimes they don't. Did you have any problems?
I didn't have any trouble at all, no. We were a happy couple.
Who made the important decisions in your home? Who made them?
Both of us.
You made them together. Was this, of course, your parents weren't living, so you can't say.
Huh?
You can't say whether this was like your parents' home.
No.
In your grandparents' home, who made the decision?
I don't have a grandparents here.
No, but in Europe,
I didn't consult with them at all. When I went away to Europe, I forgot about everybody. The only thing I remember is my sister. See, I still correspond with her.
Your sister's still living in Russia?
Mm-hmm. Still in Russia, Kiev.
Kiev.
I sent her money not long ago.
What kind of schooling did your children receive in this country?
High school and part college.
Part college, they didn't finish.
Milton went to high school and went to college for a year. Sammy went to high school and went 2 years in Pitt.
Did they get a Jewish education?
Oh, yeah. Three of life and one in the bachelor.
They were bar mitzvah and everything. Yeah. They were bar mitzvah and everything.
Oh, yeah.
You have any daughters?
Mm-hmm. He's got a daughter-in-law.
Now, of course, in your case, we can't say because you more or less raised yourself. So this question doesn't really apply to you. The question is, is there any difference between the way you were raised and the way you raised your children? But you really raised yourself. So
well, I tell you, I raised myself, and it's very hard to raise American children.
But he didn't have it as hard as they are now.
See, I tell you, I was a busy man all the time,
uh-huh.
Day and night.
Uh-huh.
My wife took care of the children,
uh-huh.
And she wasn't too well.
Uh-huh.
So naturally, we done the best we can.
Why do you think it's harder to raise? Why do you think it's harder to raise American children?
It's a difference altogether, American children. When they get older, you can't tell them nothing.
Mm-hmm. They want to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Well, do you think this was due to the fact that you were European, that you couldn't tell them anything? Would they have listened more if
Well, I tell you, some parents are very lucky. They have children who obey the orders of the parents,
mm-hmm.
and they do the right thing. And some children...
I never found those parents.
Well, there is. Uh-huh. See, my older son, he went to college,
mm-hmm.
and he was the oldest boy, and he met a girl. See, our sister worked for me, and she made a date for our sisters.
Mm-hmm.
She was older, and she made a date for our sister.
Mm-hmm.
And they got in love.
Mm-hmm. So he got married young.
And they got married right away. Mm-hmm. He dropped college,
mm-hmm.
and he got married.
That's all.
So what could I do?
What
could I do? I was against it. You should get married to your...
We've been pleased. The interview quality is generally good, and some of these interviews could serve almost as a model for work of this type. The work is specific, the answers are to the point, and you're beautiful. In the aggregate, we're hopeful that this study is going to be of historical and sociological significance. Now, every interviewer, during the process of the interview, should keep in mind that this is going to be one of many interviews that is being compiled, and that the person doing the analysis is going over all of this. And this is difficult work, very time-consuming work, and the interview should have as much clarity as possible. The respondent must be kept to the point of the question. Now, you can't always do this. Your respondent rambles and gets off the subject. Then you have to listen and repeat the question and his answer. For instance, so then the first thing that impressed you when your boat arrived was the lights in the harbor. And be sure that your answers pertain to the first 5 years. Carol Elias would like you to use capital R for respondent. Sometimes it's not clear when she does this compiling whether the interviewer is talking about the respondent or whether it's about the respondent's father. Now, suppose a question doesn't apply, such as what work did you do in Pittsburgh, and your respondent is a girl who came at age 11 and she didn't work the first 5 years. I'm going to code this, mark it NP for not pertinent, so the analyst will know it was not forgotten and she won't be searching to see if you've got the answer elsewhere. Some answers are causing confusion. And we didn't anticipate that the question was going to produce these kind of answers. For example, what kind of work did you do when you first came to this country? Frequently, a respondent had as many as six jobs, but some of these he worked at only a couple of weeks. Now, pick out the job that lasted the longest, preferably a year. For the others, you can say a variety of short-term jobs, peddling, sweeping, storerooms. And the wages then should be the job where he remained the longest during the first 5 years. Use the code DR, don't recall, or as with questions of insight, if you could live this part of your life over again, what kind of work would you go into? A right doesn't know. Don't leave it blank. It's also been confusing to Carol in the question, what first impressed you when you came to the United States? The port of entry has been here, and some people are confusing this with Pittsburgh. In page 18, did you go to Cheder? Did you go to Hebrew school? This means Pittsburgh. Be certain that your respondent isn't talking about Poland. And when it's not the first 5 years of adjustment, fill it in, because this material might still be used, but please note it in red, in red ink or red pencil, not first 5 years. We might ask, what's a complete answer? Phrases for the compiling purposes are actually preferred to sentences, but they can never be too specific. And every interview must be checked over before it's turned in. Be sure it hangs together and to make certain that the questions are answered. If one small item's been forgotten, then call by phone. Your respondent will probably be glad to answer it. She's had some difficulty with legibility of writing. In this case, you have to know yourself. At this point in our lives, we all know whether or not our writing is legible to other people. We've been told about it enough. And some of us should be printing. Some people are going to be able to complete their written work during the interview. After the first interview, they'll be able to do that. But some people will not be able to do this. Now I'd like to hear from you. We'd like to know what questions are causing you difficulty and where you aren't getting responses. All right, now who lead off with this? Now here's something we picked up in the study. We never asked specifically, what Jewish organizations helped you to adjust? It should come out in the process of all these other questions. We don't ask, did you ever receive financial aid? I wonder, Dr. Shido, can this be included? All right, thank you.